Blog Talk Radio.
What's John Dean doing here in this building? This is a remarkable amount of information about the break-in.
We're still gathering strength. This is just the beginning.
Okay. First of all, no more interviews with White House or CIA people without permission.
What?
Whose permission? Give us a minute. Get out. The FBI is an independent body.
I'm aware of that.
Are you also aware that means we don't need permission to do anything from anybody? You give that up just one time, you don't ever get it back. Ever.
Let's not get dramatic. We don't even know what this is.
That's right. We don't. But we're going to find out, and that's what we do. You don't work for them. You're the director of the FBI now.
Welcome, everybody, to a special bonus episode of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of PunchDrunkCritics.com, and that clip you just heard was from Mark Felt, the man who brought down the White House, starring Liam Neeson as Mark Felt, the man who would become to known as Deep Throat. The film is directed by Peter Landsman. Now, if you don't know that name, Landsman directed Parkland, which is the JFK assassination film from a few years ago, and Concussion, starring Will Smith. And Landsman is a director who really likes to tell stories about guys who are going up against a monolithic system, and this movie is obviously no different, as Felt was the number two man at the FBI who was running up against the Watergate investigation, and you heard just a little bit of that in that clip. I had a chance to sit down and talk with Landsman about Mark Felt. He's a former journalist. I talked to him about, his research into the story. Felt only came out, revealed himself as Deep Throat back in 2005. So this is a fresh perspective on Watergate that we've never seen before. So I talked to Landsman about that, the timing of it, as we're going through a Watergate size scandal in the White House right now. And of course, I also talked to him about working with Liam Neeson and what he saw in him to play the role of Felt. So here is that interview. It's about 11 minutes long. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I mean, I really want to talk to you because this, sure, this movie is coming out at the absolute perfect time.
Yeah, Supernatural, right?
Isn't it weird? I mean, I know you've probably been making this movie for a long time.
Yeah.
But the timing, I mean,
it's pretty stupid.
Were you thinking about it as it's gotten nearer to release that? Are you man?
That's a fair question. I mean, Liam and I were in a trailer, his trailer one morning. Mm-hmm. It was in July, so Trump had gone from being, a court jester of New York to, a nominee.
Yeah.
We both disturbed. Couldn't really make sense of it, but obviously didn't think it was ever going to happen.
I don't think it did.
But when it did happen, I was editing the movie, but there was nothing really to do about it through the film. The story is the story. The story is relevant all by itself.
Yep.
I think mostly because, there's always going to be corruption at the highest levels, and there's always going to be somebody with integrity at the bottom who's willing to do something about it. So the dynamic and the mythology is universal.
Mm-hmm.
So that David versus Goliath mythology exists everywhere at all times.
Yeah. It made me think about whether or not somebody like Mark Felt could really exist right now. Like, could he do the same things right now? I mean, back then, there's no internet, there's not the polarizing media. Well, one, could he stay anonymous that long? And two, I mean, would he not just be torn to shreds by everything on the outside?
Well, Comey arguably is some version of Felt.
Yeah.
Especially the FBI.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm alluding to, sort of, is Comey and how we've seen how he's been reacting.
He's the closest thing we had. I like Comey a lot. I think I respect him. I admire him. He, like Felt, because the FBI had all the information, I think as close as we had to Mark Felt, and other whistleblowers have been doing it as much for their notoriety and their narcissism as for anything else.
Mm.
So, in terms of his motivation, yeah, I think Comey's the closest thing we have.
Yeah, that was one of the things I liked about your film is, and we've seen the Watergate story time and time. It's always Woodward and Bernstein, nothing wrong with that. But to see it from Felt's perspective is interesting because, you know, when you see the other stories, it's, you know, the dogged journalists, the dogged reporters.
Right.
And this one made it seem like Felt was kind of leading them along a little bit.
He was. He was leading them along. Woodward and Bernstein, the Post, there were at least three other outlets, other reporters he was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
He was really kind of puppeteering information, leading them all along. The truth is, the center of Watergate was Felt. It was the FBI. They were the ones with the investigation. They were the ones trying to just do their jobs in terms of following the breadcrumbs. Bob and Carl, who I really like and I call them friends, I admire them. You know, they got to the mythology first. They got to the book first. They got to the movie first, and then it became the known mythology of Watergate. Truth is, Mark Felt was really the driving force behind the undermining the cover-up.
Did you make an effort to either watch previous movies about Watergate, or did you kind of avoid it to kind of
neither.
Be able to tell your...
No, neither. I mean, all the President's Men I've seen dozens of times.
Yeah.
as a filmmaker. Alan Pakula is the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the performances in that movie are just remarkable. As a film, I think it's a perfect movie. As a film about a moment, as a film about those two guys, it's a great movie. They're just not the center. This movie, looks through its own keyhole, looks through the room, looks into the room that Mark Felt lived in, and I think the two films exist side by side quite beautifully. Nothing else about Watergate. I don't think of any of the big feature films about Watergate. I can't really think of any.
You get a chance to, did Woodward Bernstein see the film?
Yeah, I showed them the movie like 5 weeks ago. Actually, had a really nice afternoon with them afterwards. I was very concerned that they feel comfortable out of respect. Not out of concern about the movie. The movie's the film, and I stand by it. There are elements of this film that Carl in particular didn't entirely agree with, it, but I think that's because Carl, and even Bob to some extent, didn't have the full picture of Mark Felt as a man. They had Watergate and Felt from their own point of view, but didn't really have access to him as a father and a husband and the things that this film is about. Interestingly, I found myself in the position of knowing more about Felt as a man than they did.
Hmm.
That being said, we had a lovely lunch afterwards. We chatted. I think that they respect the work I've done the way I respect the work they've done, and I don't think there's any conflict.
One of the things I admire about your films, I can't remember if you and I spoke for Parkland or not. I can't remember if we did or not. I feel like we've spoken before.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I really admire about your movies is the amount of detail you put into it. They always feel authentic. Even the subjects I don't really know anything about.
Right.
I don't really know a whole lot about Watergate, but they always feel authentic to me. I'm curious about your research and how you even begin a project like this. And kind of what your process is.
Yeah.
Good
question. Same with Concussion, too, by the way.
In Concussion.
You know, when you make a movie, a film, a feature film, about something important and real, I feel an obligation to not drift into outer space and not completely fantasize.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I'm making a film, not a piece of journalism, it's not a documentary. So I will work very hard to establish a bedrock understanding of what actually happened, who was who, the truth and the facts as much as we can know it, the knowable truth. And then I step back as the filmmaker and create a narrative that is an emotional experience for the audience. And that's my process. And then when I'm shooting and when I'm editing, I'm interested in performance. And now I'm a filmmaker, I'm a director. And I kind of, because I can rely on what I know about what is true, I didn't think about the art.
I feel like your movies, they tend to have, they tend to be about a guy who's kind of pushing a boulder uphill.
Yeah.
Kind of going up against this kind of monolithic system.
More like David
Concussions like that too.
Yeah.
Is that something you seem to be drawn to as on a personal standpoint? Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. You know, Kill the Messenger, which is the movie I wrote, that
mm-hmm.
Jeremy wrote, is exactly the same. Yeah, I have been attracted to whistleblower films. When I was a journalist, I was a lone wolf. I always was interested in stories that no one was paying attention to. No one really felt and even knew were there. And it's just my narrative. And I don't look too closely at it. My next film is a World War II film. So it's a different genre, but also a true story. And but I am interested in the men, and I'm interested in people who are truth tellers at the expense of their own, sometimes safety, but certainly their own, the architecture of their lives.
In all of your research, did you get a sense of how the FBI feels about Felt and what he did?
Yeah, no, I know how they feel about Felt. They don't like him.
Really?
They think Felt was a traitor.
Well,
because he betrayed the FBI code. What they don't know is that he betrayed the FBI to save the FBI. And they had no access to him as a man or a father. They didn't understand his motivations. Had Felt not done what he did, the FBI would have been turned into sort of Nixonian renegade machine. He was their hero, but he threw himself across the tracks to save the institution against that kind of corruption and abuse.
The FBI, it's interesting because the FBI is in the news now more than ever.
Yeah.
How do you think he would feel about that now? Do you think you'd
I
hate
think
it?
I was in the news then. I think that they were, I mean, look, Felt, you know, there's that scene with Sandy Smith, like Bruce Greenwood in the diner, a couple scenes with him. Felt had relationships with the press. He made
mm-hmm.
sure that the people understood the truth of what was happening. I think he'd be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's more exposure and transparency everywhere, on everything right now. I'm a big believer in the FBI. I think the Bureau is a crucial institution. I think that they 99% of the time succeed, but in success we don't hear about it.
Yeah.
I believe in law enforcement. I believe in their mission. Cops and FBI agents are good people who do hard work for very little money, and they're often away from their families. Here. You have coffee?
Yeah, I thought they brought it up. It should be on
the okay,
place.
Cool. And I think FBI agents took a breath. They could see Felt in a different light.
Before I go, talk to me a little bit about Liam Neeson, his performance.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic. Just kind of talk to me a little bit about, what was it about him that made you say, this is the guy I want to play?
His integrity. His carriage. He's beloved as an actor. The roles he's chosen have been, even his action movies have been about kind of integrity, you know, plowing through the system or a threat. He's a spectacular actor. I knew he was the right age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about other actors who were physically not going to sell it, and Liam sells it in every respect.
All right, that was my interview with Peter Landsman, the writer and director of Mark Felt, The Man Who Brought Down the White House. It's in theaters now. You should go and check it out, especially if you're a political junkie like me. I'm Travis Hobson. You can find this interview right here on Blog Talk Radio and, of course, at punchdrunkcritics.com. Thank you very much. Bye.